1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Accumulation of life's goods or the securing of one's retirement is not what that verse is referring to. When we walk before our God, cleansed by the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and we are in the business of seeking His face, everything looks so much better, even good. In church the other day, a godly young brother just recently married was talking about his birthday and how he had spoken to his wife and family, telling them not to buy him anything because he had all that he needed. By the world's standards, he wasn't there yet. He didn't own a fancy new car or live in a fine new sprawling home. He didn't have a high-paying job, but he was happy in what Christ had given him. He is a very rich man. This man has Holy Ghost eyes. Years ago, late at night, I was driving a young man home. Just hours before, this young man had given his heart to Christ. He was full of God's love. As we drove past an old steel mill, he commented that even the steel mill was beautiful. He is a rich man. He had and still has a new set of Holy Ghost eyes. Have you yet to be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Would you like to have a beautiful new set of Holy Ghost eyes? Would you like all your sin and shame erased? Would you like to begin a brand new holy life? If you said yes, today is your day of salvation. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God said, Psalms 19:7-11, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Man said, "The biblical archaeologists who carry their spade in one hand and their Bible in the other are delusional." Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 768, that will once again confirm the faithful accuracy of God's holy word. All of these features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Be sure to take advantage of three very useful tools on God Said, Man Said. One, you have questions, God has answers. Whatever your question, type a keyword into the search bar top right and watch the screen populate with related information from Adam and Eve to quantum physics. Two, use the tell a friend feature above to send a message to someone you love. It's so quick and easy. Three, imagine you can download nearly 250 hours of God Said, Man Said features to your electronic device. Listen to one every day. Thank you for visiting. We are honored by your company. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. The God of faith can only be accessed through childlike faith, and as one brother says it, He is a faith God. As a child of faith, I'm required to walk separate from sinners and to embrace a life that is 180 degrees out from carnal normalcy. I need to know God's word is the truth, and it is. Your childlike faith will not be disappointed. God Said, Man Said utilizes a four-part proof text to certify the inerrancy of God's Word, the Holy Bible. One platform is archaeology, which establishes the Bible as a supernaturally perfect historic record, miracles and all. The archaeology category also houses the disciplines of paleontology, geology, ancient history, as well as societal records that have been passed down generationally. There are presently 96 separate features in this category, spanning from Adam and Eve in paradise to the day Jesus died in His glorious resurrection. Of course, the skeptics challenge, because that's what Satan's skeptics do, but inevitably they collapse under the weight of the truth. In John Argubright's book, Bible Believers Archaeology, he emphasizes the complete accuracy of the Bible's written record. several pages from his book concerning Misha Stele follow. In 1868, a stone was uncovered in the biblical city of Dibon, which recorded victories by Misha, the king of Moab, over the Israelites. Battles between Israel and this same Misha are also recorded in the Bible. It is uncertain whether the victories on the stone were recorded before or after the kings of Israel and Judah fought against King Misha, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 26, in which Israel, with God's help, was victorious. Argubright uses numbers to identify lines from the Misha Stele, which are cumbersome in narration. They are written in this text, but the account will be read as one continuous account. Argubright continues. The following is a translation of the text taken from the Misha stone. I, Misha, son of Chemosh, Misha's king, the Dibonite. My father governed Moab for 30 years, then I reigned after my father. I made a high place for Chemosh in Korhor, for he protected me from all the kings and caused me to triumph over all my enemies. As for Omri, king of Israel, he oppressed Moab for many years, for Chemosh was furious with his country. And his son followed in his footsteps, and he also said, I will cast down Moab. In my days he spoke, but I triumphed over his house, and Israel has passed away forever. Omri occupied Medeba's land, and he lived in it during his time and in the days of his sons 40 years. Yet Chemosh reinstalled it in my days, and I built Baal-meon, and I made a water supply in it, and I built Quaritan. And the men of Gad dwelt in the land of Adarot from of old, and Israel's king built Adarot for them, but I fought against that city, and I slew all the people of the city as revenge for Chemosh and Moab. And I brought forward the altar hearth of his beloved, and I carted it before Chemosh in Kirioth, and I established the men of Sharon and the men of Meirith in it. And Chemosh said to me, Go, bring Nebo against Israel. So I went by night and fought from sunrise until noon, taking it and slaying all 7,000 men, boys, women, girls, and maidservants, because I dedicated them to Ashtar Chemosh. And I took from there the altar hearths of Yahweh, dragging them before Chemosh. Israel's king built Jahaz and settled there while he did battle with me, but Chemosh drove him out before my eyes. I took with me 200 men from Moab, all chief warriors, and sent them to Jahaz, and I added it to Dibon. I constructed Korhor with the wall of the forest and the wall of the Acropolis, along with its gates and towers. I built the house of the king and its water reservoirs for inside the city, for there was no water inside the town of Korhor. So I said to the residents, Make for yourself a cistern in every house. I cut trees for use in Korhor with the prisoners of Israel. I built a rower and a roadway through the Arnon. I built Beth-Bamoth, for it was in ruins, and I built Bezer, for it was desolate. And the men of Dibon were loyal to my rule, and I reigned over hundreds of villages, which I added to my country. I built the temple of Medeba, and the temple of Diblatan, and the temple of Baal-meon, and I introduced there sheep of the land. The house of David inhabited Horonium, and Chemosh said to me, Go down, attack Horonium. So I advanced against it, and Chemosh reestablished it in my days. End of quote. Argubright now uses alphabetic delineators to compare the Misha Stele line by line with the scriptures. Argubright continues. A. Lines 1 through 3 mentions King Misha, a Dibonite who ruled over Moab. He also worshipped the Moabite god called Chemosh, to whom he attributes his victories. The Bible in 2 Kings chapter 3, 4 through 5 verifies Misha was the king of Moab during their revolt against Israel. The Bible also states in Numbers 21, 29 through 30 that Dibon was a city in the land of Moab and mentions their god Chemosh. B. Lines 5 through 6 of the Misha stone state that Omri was king of Israel and that he was succeeded by his son. The Bible confirms this in 1 Kings 16, 23 and 28. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. C. Lines 7 and 9 say that King Omri of Israel took possession of the land of Medeba and that Mesha took it back. Mesha then built Baal Meon. The Bible states that this land belonged to the tribe of Reuben, who along with the tribe of Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh did not cross over into the Promised Land, but settled in the eastern side of the Jordan River as recorded in Numbers chapter 33. This territory, Moab, is described in Joshua 13, 15 through 17. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. And their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain by Medeba, Heshbon, and all her cities that are in the plain, Dibon, and Bamoth Baal, and Beth Baal Meon. D. Line 8 says that Omri and his sons, bloodline relatives, ruled for 40 years. The Bible says the same thing starting in 1 Kings 16, verse 23. Omri ruled for 12 years. 6 of those years he co-reigned with Tibni. So for 6 years he ruled alone as king of Israel. Then his son Ahab took over and ruled for another 22 years, 1 Kings 16, 29. Then Ahab's son Ahaziah became the next king, ruling for 2 years, 1 Kings 22, 51. Ahab's last son, Jehoram, ruled for 10 years, a total of 40 years. Jehoram was killed by Jehu in his 11th year as king. That's in 2 Kings chapter 9, 14 through 29. Jehu then ascended to the throne, but he was not related to Omri. E. Line 9 says that after Omri and his sons were in the land 40 years, the territory was restored to Mesha. It is interesting to note that during the reign of the following king of Israel, Jehu, the Bible says, 2 Kings 10:32 through 33, the following. In those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites and the Reubenites and the Manassehites from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Line 26 mentions Aroer as a city in the land in the hands of Mesha. Thus, it is very possible that the events mentioned on the Mesha stone may have occurred during Jehu's rule as king. F. Line 10 mentions one of the 12 tribes of Israel, Gad, and says that they dwelt in the land of Ataroth from of old. The Bible says, "And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aroer." That was Numbers 32, 33, and 34. G. Line 13 refers to the men of Sharon. This land is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 5:16. "And they dwelt in Gilead and Bashan and in her towns and in all the suburbs of Sharon upon their borders." H. Line 14 mentions the city of Nebo. The Bible mentions Nebo in Numbers 32, verse 38, as territory Moses gave to the tribe of Reuben, who along with Gad settled in the land. Jeremiah the prophet also mentions Nebo as a town of Moab in Jeremiah 48:22. I. Line 17 speaks of another Moabite god, Ashtar-Chemosh. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him." That's Judges 10:6. J. Line 18 makes a reference to the altar hearths of Yahweh. YHWH is the Hebrew word for the god Yahweh, spelled just as it is in the Hebrew Bible. K. Line 19 mentions the city of Jahaz. The Bible mentions this Moabite city in Isaiah 15, verse 4, "And Heshbon shall cry, and Elilah. Their voice shall be heard even unto Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him." L. Line 21. Mentions of the city of Dibon. The Bible says, "And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer." Numbers chapter 32, verse 34. M. Line 26 says, I built Aurora and a roadway through the Arnon, the Bible says. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aurora. That's Numbers 32, 34. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aurora, which is by the river Arnon and half Mount Gilead and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 12. And line 27 mentions the town of Bezer. Originally, this town was controlled by the tribe of Reuben, according to the Bible, which says, and out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with her suburbs, and Jehaza with her suburbs. Joshua chapter 21, verse 36. Oh, line 30 speaks of the temples of Medeba, Diblaton, and Baal-Meon, which were built by the Moabite king. The prophet Isaiah forecast the destruction of these pagan temples. He has gone up to Bajeth and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba, and on all their heads shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. Isaiah chapter 15, verse 2. P. Lines 30 and 31 say that Misha introduced their sheep of the land. The Bible confirms that Misha raised sheep. And Misha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. Q. Line 31 says, and the house of David inhabited Horonium. Here is found one of the first references outside the Bible to King David and his descendants who were from the tribe of Judah. Misha also makes the distinction between the men of Israel and the house of David. This is exactly how the Bible states Israel was divided as a kingdom during this time. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah from the house of David, while Joram was the king of Israel, according to 2 Kings chapter 3. The town of Horonim is also mentioned in Jeremiah 48, 3 through 7. A voice of crying shall be from Horonim, spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhith, continual weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be broken, and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priest and his princes together. Conclusion? Once again, the Bible has proven to be 100% reliable. End of quotes. God's word is a perfect record of the events of the past. Its precepts and commandments are perfect instruction for everyday living, and its account of the future will play out perfectly as written, even unto eternal life or eternal damnation. Choices are being made. Click on the Further with Jesus now. God said, John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God said, Psalms 19, 7 through 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Man said the biblical archaeologists who carry their spade in one hand and their Bible in the other are delusional. Now you have the record.